Hey, hey, hey! Before we dive into the epicness that is this double episode with the Merrymaker Sisters, I wanted to let you know that I have a really cool freebie for you. 7 Days to Awesome. It's a course that I used to run many years ago, and it really is about reconnecting back to you, figuring out where you're at, what's important to you, what maybe is getting in your way, and then a vision for the future. It's totally free. And if you want in, head on over to carlynimmo.com/7days. That's the letter 7. And if you double click on my face in the iTunes app, you'll find a link in the show notes. Now, on with today's epic show.
Welcome to today's episodes. Yes, there's two of them. Two people, two episodes. Many of you will very likely have heard of or know the Merrymaker Sisters, Emma and Carla Pappas. And what I wanted to do, what I was really interested in, was to see how these two parts of the Merrys work as individuals, because we see them together all of the time. I'm intrigued because I never grew up with a sister, so I have no idea what that relationship is like. And I was just really curious to pull them apart and find out what their individual stories are rather than the Merrymaker's story. If this is your first time here, I would love you to subscribe if you dig what's going down. First up is Carla. And Carla is like, I don't know, she's like a ray of sunshine. And during this interview, we talk about how she was bullied for being so happy. And I think that is just a testament to who she is, that she managed to not conform and become what I like to call a depressionist. Often I've described myself as that. And she has somehow managed to maintain this lightness and this brightness. And it's kind of infectious when you're around these girls. I'm really excited to let you get to know Carla. Welcome to Carlosophy's Stories Behind Success. I'm Carly Nimmo. It's so easy to fall into comparisonitis as an entrepreneur, and it can be paralyzing. In my own journey, I've come to understand that regardless of your level of success, fame, or fortune, we're all suffering from the same stories of fear, struggle, and failure. So let's talk about it.
Story started back in 1990 when I was born. I think whenever I say 1990, like, everyone's like, what, you're a 90s baby? I know, it sounds, it, like, for me it's so normal because it was how I kind of like figured out how old I was, because when it was 1999, I was 9 that year, so that's how I remember it. But whenever I say it to anyone, they're like, oh my gosh, you're like so young. But I'm not really, because I'm 1990. So there's people who like I meet and they're like, oh, I was born in 2000. Anyway, born in 1990, true. Grew up in Canberra, had an awesome upbringing. Like, we are really, like, I'm and Emma are all really close to, like, mum, dad, and we also have an older brother. A lot of people are shocked that we have an older brother because he doesn't feature much, like, anywhere on our website or our social media. So had a great childhood, loved being a kid and loved doing everything, trying new things. And then I guess going into high school was like a little bit of a different story. Through high school, I suffered a lot of bullying and just kind of always being told not to be so happy. So that was like a really interesting kind of experience. And it's kind of like come through everything that I do now as well. Like, I can always reflect back on that. And I find it interesting that I was told to not be so happy. And that was the reason I was being bullied, was because I was a happy person. So years 7 to 8 to 9 weren't my favorite years of school. I didn't like them at all. But then I came into year 10 and I had a really close group of friends and I loved year 10. So that was great. Then went into college and that was awesome. You know, discovered partying and did that a little bit, and always kind of had the idea that, like, I would do something awesome with my life. Like, I wanted to be an actor and then I wanted to have my own business and that and blah, blah, blah. Didn't really know, like, what I would study to do that. But after college, studied PR. So I did my advanced diploma of public relations, and then I got a job in the government, like straight off. Actually, I hadn't even graduated. I got a job 6 months before I graduated my advanced diploma in the government. That was awesome because I was like, yes, I have a 9-to-5. Like at that stage, I was like, I just want a 9-to-5 job, because before that, I'd been working like shift work as a banquets team leader. So I was working like till 4 a.m. some nights, and then starting school studies at like 8 a.m. So I was getting no sleep. So I was like, a 9-to-5 sounded luxurious. So I was super excited about that. Finished my studies of advanced diploma. Then that next year was like, okay, I'm going to do part-time uni. I need a degree, because everyone told me I needed a degree, so I should get a degree. Got my degree in public relations. So 4 years had passed and I was still in the government at the same job. I mean, I'd swapped and changed heaps, but I was still at the same department. And this would have been 2012. All those years from ages about 10 to 2012, so 22, I hated myself. I hated the way I looked. I always wanted to be thinner. I always wanted to look like the people in the magazines. I couldn't understand like why I couldn't lose weight to be thinner, even though I was so thin already. I thought I was fat. So I was on a diet since about age 11. Then in 2012, I went on this ridiculous 12-week diet where I lost 10 kilos. I'd been the thinnest I have ever been, and I still thought I was fat, and my body just started to shut down, and I was really sick, and I had no energy, and it sucked. It basically just sucked. And then one day, Emma sends me through this article at work, because we're at this stage, we're working in the same government department, pretty much side-by-side cubicles, but she's like sending me live messages. And she's like, read this. And it's about this like real food way of living and how all these packaged foods and these low fat foods that we'd been kind of brainwashed to think were good for us have actually been hurting our bodies. And I was like, oh my gosh. At this stage, I was literally drinking a can of Diet Coke and eating rice crackers at my desk, reading this article. And I was like, oh my God. So I'm like chucking them out. I'm like, this is what I've been looking for, because I'd always been like searching for like a way to eat. Like food had just been like in my head, like I'd been controlled by it. Like every meal, every past meal, what am I going to eat next? When should I work out? How many hours do I need to work out? How many calories is in that? And it was just like, that's all I could ever think about. I was obsessed. So when Emma sent me this, I was like, well, you know what? I tried everything else, so maybe I should just give this a go. So I started eating that way. And in like 4 weeks, I felt the best I'd felt my entire life. I couldn't believe that just eating this simple real food was making me feel so amazing, and I didn't have to worry about like calories. I didn't have to count anything, and I didn't have to like slog away at the gym, and it just was like almost this weight that was like bearing down on my shoulders, like was just starting to lift, and I'd never felt that way before. And so I started sharing photos of what I was making, like the recipes, real simple recipes on Instagram. And people started asking questions, like just my personal one. I think it was like at CarlaLala23 or something like that. And I was like, why do people want to know about this? Like I just couldn't comprehend like why people are asking me questions. The only reason I was on Instagram was because I wanted the pretty filters. I was like, how are people getting the borders and the pretty filters? Oh, it's Instagram. I'm going to join that. Because at this stage, I thought like internet was just for like checking the weather and catching up on Facebook, like posting on Facebook saying, hey, like what did you do last night? That's what I thought the internet was for. And so then when I kind of figured out like people are communicating with me on Instagram, I was like, maybe I could do something else. So at this stage, I'd been chatting to Emma about this, and I was like, Emma, like we should do something. Like, you know, like we could create something where we put something on the internet. And at this stage, we were hating our jobs as well. So all of our conversations every day was about complaining about work, about wishing the day was over, wishing every day was over, literally wishing our lives would like hurry up and get to the next stage. Who knew what, like what's the next stage? Like we're just like hoping that they go faster. And
or like a mysterious white knight comes up and you jump on the back of the horse and there's your new life.
Yeah, it's like a weird concept. It's like, what are we wishing away? Because like we're not making any changes, like because it's just going to be the same the next day. So we're just going to keep wishing and wishing and wishing, and then one day we'll wake up. So I remember a conversation in a car. We were driving and we kind of were getting really deep, and we were like, oh, like, you know, when we were little and like everything was amazing and we just thought like that life was going to be magical and that we were going to do something big together. And where did that go? Like we kind of just lost it. And so when we had that conversation, it kind of sparked like something in us, and we're like, maybe like we could try something with this food stuff. Like maybe we could, like everyone seems to be wanting these recipes. Like maybe we could try something. So we posted our first blog post. Before that, we'd Googled like how to start a blog, what is a blog. We'd read everything on ProBlogger because like we had no idea like what anything was about, and published our first blog. Absolutely loved it because I studied communications, Emma studied events. So like that kind of like writing about our journey like just came really naturally to us. So it just made sense to us that we would write about it and put it somewhere for other people to find it. And so we fell in love with blogging, and then that was February 2013. So we were like, well, maybe this could be our thing. Like maybe Merrymaker Sisters could make, we could make that happen. And it was the first ProBlogger event that we went to that year. So August 2013, where we saw other people doing it full time, and we were like, people do this.
Where are you? I was there. I think I was there.
Oh my gosh.
2013. Yeah, I think I was there.
It was a good one with Chris Ducker and Pat Flynn.
Oh no, I wasn't at that year. Oh, I went to, I must have gone to the year, the year that Chris Ducker, I was pregnant with Mabel. And I think I was actually away when that weekend happened. And then the next year, I had Mabel and she was a baby, and my brother came to stay, I think. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. But that, you know what's really weird, right? Like back then you were reading ProBlogger, and then a couple of years later, you're like hanging around with Darren Rouse.
I know. It's so weird. I know.
Totally weird.
It's so weird. Darren changed our lives. Like I always say, like in our book, our new book, like we even have him on our gratitude page, because I'm just like, you helped us with our business so much. Like he made us realize that this could be a thing, like that blogging is a thing that you could do, that you could make a business online. So that first ProBlogger just like kind of opened my eyes to what was possible on the interwebs. And I was like, oh, I want to do this so badly. And so we kept, I kept working in my government job, still hating every day. But as Merrymakers kind of evolved from recipes, like as we delved into more like mindset stuff, I kept learning about things of like what we focus on grows and things like that. And like, oh, like our thoughts matter. And so then even though I was working in a job that I hated, I tried to really change my mindset because I was like, well, if I just focus on this negativity of this job that I hate, then that's just going to grow. So how about I just focus on Merrymakers and how good I've got it, and then maybe that will grow. So that really helped me like transition from working in that horrible full-time government job to realizing actually I'm super blessed. Like let's just use, like I want to just use this opportunity to get as much Merrymaker stuff done during the day at my desk job because it's a bit of a cushy job that I can, and all those funds that I'm getting as well because it's awesome. Like it is, like you get paid to kind of do quite easy work. I was like, I can just put all of that into Merrymaker. So I was like, that's a blessing. I'm going to use that. But it came to July 2014. And we kind of were like, well, what do we do now? Like we want to make this a thing. Like we're so, like we're just like, we can't handle anymore. So we asked for a year of leave without pay. Both of us did. And we went into the meeting and our manager said no. And we were like, oh, like how could they say no to us? Like that's so mean. And so we went back out and we were like, well, what were we going to do anyway? It's not like we were going to come back here in a year, even if Merrymakers didn't work. We were never intending to come back at all. So we're like, stuff it, we'll just quit. So we sent like the exact same resignation email, was like 3, 2, 1, send. And we skipped out of the office that day for lunch. We're like, okay, lunchtime, went home because we only lived like 10 minutes away from the office, drove home and did our angel cards because we're like, we love angel cards. And yeah, we're like, maybe. Give us a sign. Like, is this the right thing? Did we make the right decision? And it was like, time to go. And we're like, yes, angels are on our side. Like, this is awesome. And so, like, since that day, like July 2014 when we quit, and our last days I think was in August, just before the ProBlogger event that year. And, like, I have not looked back since then. And, like, since then, like, so that's 2014. Now we're in 2017.
It's only been that long. Like, it feels like it's been longer.
Oh, like real, it does. Like it feels like for me, like I can't even think back to that. I don't even recognize the Carla back then. Like I don't even kind of relate to her anymore. I just think like, God, like I've grown so much. Like I'm so different to then. And it is because like taking a risk and like taking that leap and doing something I love every single day has just like taught me so much and allowed me to kind of flourish. And I think it's like the most amazing thing ever. But yeah, since then it's been like this huge, big journey of like trying everything. Like, what can we do? Because that, like, people think, oh, like they must have had heaps of savings and a strategy and a plan and blah, blah, blah. Like, they've got it all sorted to be able to quit their jobs. No, we didn't have any of that. Like, we had a mortgage. We just like bought a house together because like Emma had broken up with her boyfriend. They were going to buy that house together. And then they broke up the day they moved in. And then I like swooped in. I was like, oh, I'll go halves with you. So we had a mortgage together. And then no plan, no strategy, nothing. We had no idea. The only thing we were making money from at that stage was one ebook, or maybe we had our smaller ebooks too. I can't remember. Ebooks and partnerships with brands. And the partnerships, I understood that because I studied PR. So I was like, I get that. I know how we can help these brands and how they can help us. So that was really amazing that I had that skill from like the previous job and the previous learnings. So that's all we had. So we were like, what are we going to do next? So it was really just like this big like exploration phase, and still is. I don't think that's ever going to stop, but of just trying new things and learning as much as we can. So like going to events like Pro Blogger and Tropical Think Tank, like they're like moments in our in this journey where I can look back and be like, that was so like important that I was at that event, that I met that person, that I had that conversation, because like I can pinpoint that. And then like all these other things have happened because I met that person, and it's just crazy. So I think going to events has been such a huge thing for me, and I love connecting with people. So I think that's been a big part of the story so far, is just like meeting all the amazing people and seeing what is actually possible. Like everyone is doing such cool stuff. So I think that's my story. I mean, in there, like, published a couple books and, like, a podcast and blogged a lot. And
grown
all
a
that
huge
couple.
Following. And
yeah. I don't know. Like, I'm like, what else? Moved states, like, moved to the Gold Coast, which, again, was, like, such a cool thing and so out of my comfort zone, moving to a new state with no friends. I had such a close group of girlfriends down in Canberra, like, and I didn't realize how good they were until I left them. I was like, oh. Like, we didn't see each other that often. I was just like, yeah, I know you're there. Like, you're always going to be there. And I took them for granted. So I think moving here, it made me realize how important, like, friendships were. And, like, the first year, like, we've been here a year. Like, it's been tough. Like, I've, like, struggled hard. And, like, because Emma has her boyfriend up here. So, like, I, like, don't want to be the third wheel all the time. So I have to be like, well, no, like, you guys go do your own thing. Like,
I'll just watch Netflix.
Yeah, I just sit here by myself. I can't just be there all the time. But yeah, it's been really interesting, and I think it just made me realize like that you've got to do this stuff because this is where you grow, like where you feel uncomfortable. Like, it's so true. Like, getting outside that comfort zone is where the magic happens. Like, it's truly so fun going outside your comfort zone. Like right now, like I've done salsa, I've done surfing this week, I've like got on my list, like I've got a 2017 list, guitar lessons, like that's my next thing. Like, I just want to keep learning because I've forgotten how like important it is to like learn new things. So that's kind of like where I'm at now.
Yeah. I think what you were talking about just then, really, I totally relate to that because I've spent a big portion of my life looking for what felt like home, you know, like nothing really felt like home. I've always felt like a bit of a black sheep, I guess. And so I didn't feel like I belonged in Melbourne where I grew up. And then I moved up to Byron and there was an element there where it just didn't feel like home. And then we moved back to Victoria and then we bought a house in Nambucca. And when we bought the house in Nambucca, I knew no one. I was working for myself, so I didn't have like, you know, a job that I went to. I didn't have any kids, so there wasn't a school drop-off. And so I had no way of meeting anyone. Mm-hmm. And it was so hard. That was probably, you know, and you said the magic happens outside of the comfort zone, but sometimes the magic feels like shit.
I know. It doesn't, like, it's not, it feels horrible, like, doing it, like, going to the salsa class and, like, waiting, like, this salsa class was hilarious. Like, it reminded me of going to, like, a year nine disco. You know, when you walk into the disco and you're like, you're looking good, you're looking awesome, and then everyone's on the outside.
Yeah. Just like, who's going to start dancing first?
Like, what's happening? Like, I'm really nervous, but I don't want to show it that I'm nervous. I'm cool. Be cool. Be cool. It's all good. But yeah, it doesn't feel nice, but like, it's like, afterwards, it's almost like you have to remind yourself how you're going to feel afterwards, or like give yourself, like, I always like wonder about the what if, like, what if I meet that person, or what if this happens, or what if that magic could happen. So like, it's that reminder of knowing that something magic might happen, like, that gets me through it. Because yeah, god, it's uncomfortable, like, trying new things and like not knowing what you're doing. You're like, I have no idea what I'm doing, but it truly is stuff, good stuff happens.
Yeah. And I think, like, even when it is shit, there's magic in that too, you know? It's like the being by myself in the middle of nowhere with no friends and not speaking to another human but my husband for like a year, it almost broke me as a human being. But then in that, there was also new life that kind of happened from it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. It's like he, like, break, and then like the new things come through the breaks.
Yeah, totally. They do. They absolutely
do. Or like you grow, like you break, but then you come back together and you're just like stronger. Like, it's so true. Like Kanye West said it, like, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Did he say that?
Yeah, I think so.
He said that. But yeah. and it's so true. Like, even though it feels horrible, even though it could be the worst thing ever, like at the time, you look back on those moments and you think, that's why that happened. Like, I grew from that, or I met that person, or now I know what not to do next time. And it just, like, I think having that mindset of like everything is a blessing, it just might be in a disguise at the moment. That has like been so important in my journey of just like keeping me afloat, because like there has been so many times where I'm like, what the hell am I doing? Like, I have no idea. I don't know how I'm going to pay this bill. I have no friends. I don't know what to do. Like, I'm so alone, rah, rah, rah. And it's like, actually you look back and you're like, hang on, like I've grown. Now I know I can help other people through that situation. I can share my journeys. People might resonate with it. It might help others. So I think just like keeping that front of mind, everything is a blessing. We just don't know it yet.
Yeah, totally. So I'm interested to explore, you know, this idea of you moving to the coast and not necessarily having, you know, a big group of friends around you.
Mm-hmm.
What have you been doing to change that for yourself?
Yeah. Well, I guess like in the beginning, I was really focusing on like my online network, because I kind of also forgot about them and how awesome it was that I had all these friends all over the world and all over the country that I just wasn't even making an effort to connect with. Like, we'd like chat, you know, every now and then on Facebook Messenger, but I never like was like, hey, let's jump on a Skype call for 15 minutes and just like see how each other are going. So at the start, I kind of was doing that a lot, like with my UK friends. I was chatting to them like every 2 weeks or so. And that really helped me, because I was like, I'm not alone. Like, I have those people there. And also like my mom and my dad, like, I miss them so much, and I still do. So making sure I keep in touch with them, because I think I took them for granted too, like that I could just like go over and see them and catch up with them and go over for dinner. And then I didn't have that anymore, and I was kind of like, I realized how reliant I was on them. I was like, oh, like I just kind of relied on them to be my friends, like when I didn't have anybody. So I kind of forgot to call them at the start. And then I realized I need to make an effort, like, because mum kind of felt like she was being a burden, like calling. She was like, I don't want to call because like you might be busy, you might have an interview, you might be doing this. And I was like, oh, I need to be the one to make the effort. So just made sure like that I was touching base with my parents and like not losing that connection either, because I think that's really easy to do when you separate from location, like, oh, then it's not easy anymore to pop over. So I was doing that at the start, and then I was making sure like I was trying to do new things. So like I joined a yoga studio and a Pilates studio, and at the start, like, I didn't talk to anyone. Like, I was just there and I was just like, I don't want to talk to anyone. And then I kind of realized maybe all these people are the same. Maybe they don't have friends either and they're coming here to make friends. Like, maybe I should talk to them. So then I kind of made the effort, like, every morning. Like, it's like 6 a.m. No one really wants to talk at 6 a.m. anyway. But I made the effort and I, like, just started to, like, say hi and, like, have, like, you know, banter about yoga and the poses and things like that. And just, like, even like that, having that tiny bit of human connection in the morning, like, made such a difference. And then I started, like, going a bit further with that, like, giving people compliments at yoga. So, like, complimenting them on their yoga pants, like, starting up a new conversation, or like their hair or something like that. That in itself is a really interesting thing to do, to compliment someone just out of the blue. I think, like, lots of people don't get compliments, and, like,
and a lot of people are reluctant to give them.
I yeah. know. It's really bizarre. I love giving compliments. I love it. And I think it's like every time I give a compliment, I am genuinely like, I make sure I'm like, I really do think that. And it's really interesting. It's kind of like creates a really fast connection. Like when you compliment someone on something and then they're like, oh, like this person's really nice. So like they want to talk to you more. So I did that. So that was an interesting little experiment. And I continue to do that. And then like this year, I realized I need to go a little bit further with this because like I'm not really – the end of last year I made like really good friends like with a couple of people from yoga. But then I was like, I need to go further. So that's why I brought in the new things like trying surfing, trying salsa, and like even talking to people at the cafes that I go to, like talking to the person who makes my coffee or the lady who takes my order. I'm like, these people are probably, they've just moved too and they have no friends. And like, it's amazing like the conversations you can have with these people that you just see every day, but you know nothing about them. So I'm like, well, I want to get to know you. Like, you make me the best coffee every day. You make me so happy. So like, I should know you. But yeah, and being open to like just saying like to the world, like saying that I'm open for new opportunities, like I'm open to meet new people. Because like I think if we focus on being like, I'm not meeting anybody, like, oh, I have no friends, like, well, that's going to be my reality. So like if I just change up my thoughts and be like, I'm open to meeting new people, I'm open for new opportunities, then I will be more open and they will come my way. So, and it's proven to be working. So there you go.
Yeah, because I totally relate to that. And I think it's also important, you know, we're open to new opportunities and to say yes to when they come, because there was a time there where I was like, oh, I just really want more connection in my life. I want people around me. I want to be doing more socializing. I want to, you know, and I'm open to that. But then I was taking no action towards it. And when somebody would invite me to somewhere, I would come up with an excuse as to why I couldn't go, you know, probably because of my social anxiety or whatever. And it's only now that I've, you know, that I've put myself out there more and said yes to things. And I've had to say no to things too, but legitimately with good reason, not just a fear-based decision, not just a, oh, that could be awkward, I won't go. But instead, I like saying yes to things that might be awkward, but they might also be magical, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Like, I think, like, I went through a stage where, especially at the start of the business, where I was like, we've just got to say yes to everything. Yes, 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 yes. And I was doing that. Like, I was saying yes to everything. And then when me and Em were chatting, we're like, gosh, like, we're saying yes to too much. Like, we're stretching ourselves too much. So we have to say no. But I think it's different, like, in a business and a social sense. Like, I think we often say yes to more in our business, and then our social, like, diminishes because we've said yes to so much. So it's like every yes means like that we've said no to something else, and often that will be the social thing. So I kind of like tried to balance it out by saying yes to more social stuff, and that meant, oh, I can't check my emails at 8 p.m. tonight. Damn. Like, it's like, that doesn't matter. Like, I can check them at tomorrow at 8 a.m. instead. Yeah. No one is dying. So I think like realizing that, oh, I'm saying yes to social life and I'm saying no to spending hours on social media scrolling or like doing nothing really that productive at night. Yeah,
just seeing Trump memes and, you know.
Yeah. It's like, it's okay, really depressing. I'm doing the right thing like by saying yes to my social life.
So I know that you guys love angel cards and I love angel cards, and I always have a pack next to my desk. So I thought it'd be cool if I pulled an angel card and then we just like riffed on whatever comes up. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never done this before, but you know. All right. So, how do you do? Oh, there we go. Oh, that was good. How do you pull yours? Do you just like feel them, or do you wait for one to jump out? Like, what's your?
Yeah, I do kind of both. Well, like I'll knock them, like get any of the energy out, like any of the blast. And then I just like shuffle, and then normally one will like pop out, and then I'll be like, oh, that was my one. But if one doesn't pop out, like sometimes I might just like look at one like for a little bit longer, and I'm like, I looked at that one for a little bit longer. That must be it.
Do you ever pull it out and then go, oh, no, that wasn't it. I'll just pull it out.
Well, sometimes I'm like, two might pop out, and I'm like, oh, I've got two today. I've got two
Okay. Okay. So this, I think I'll go with the one that initially came out.
Okay. Hang on, that one was wrong.
Yeah, that one was wrong. See, this is the thing.
We were doing angel cards on our couch. We literally pulled half the deck. Like, well, I was like, oh, this one. I was like, okay, this is so
This one says, follow your passion when it comes to your career. Be the best at what you do, being compensated for your creative talents. And the other one I pulled was the sun, and it says, plans that work out perfectly, amazing ideas that lead to rewards and commendations, gratitudes for the blessings of life. Ooh. So they kind of do go together, don't they?
Oh, I reckon they were perfect cards for us.
Yeah, and this conversation.
Me too. Oh, yeah. Passion's an interesting thing, I think. Like, I think the word gets thrown around a lot, and it's like, oh, follow your passion. Like, I'm always like, start of our journey was like talking about like bliss. We learned about that through Joseph Campbell and his the documentary Finding Joe. And when I first watched that, I was like, oh my gosh, like I found my bliss. I have to follow it. And so I totally believe that. But I also think that, not from me personally, but from other stories that I've read and that I've heard, like that can like be kind of like stressful for people too, like thinking, oh, I haven't found my passion yet, like what's my thing, like I don't know what my thing
mean
is.
That's definitely my story, you know. I've spent the last bloody, I don't even know, a long time, at least 10 years, probably my whole life, searching for that thing, you know, because I haven't felt like it's been well. Now I kind of understand that my thing is communicating, you know, so that's what I love to do, and that's what I need to be doing. But then you know, you complicate it as well, because it's like, shouldn't it be something more, something different, like second guessing, right, and being like, I'll just pull another card.
I know, it's so interesting. And I think like it's so important, like, to think like, it's okay, like, if we don't have our thing yet, or, like, if we never have our thing, like, as long as we're just adding more joy, like, every day. Like, what really is the point of being here? Like, it is just to connect with people. Like, when I feel most magical, it's, like, when I'm connecting with people, when I have those, like, amazing conversations where you just, like, I feel so good now, like, or that you learned something from someone. Like, that just feels so good. So I think, like, that is like such a huge meaning of life. Like, that's one of the purposes. And then like trying to enjoy every day. Cause like, if we don't, then the days pass. And it's like, goes back to that whole 9-to-5 thing that I was talking about earlier, in that I was wishing away my life. I was wishing that it was 5 o'clock so I could go to the gym. I was wishing that my 20 minutes on the treadmill was over so I could go and eat dinner. I was like dreading waking up in the morning because I was going to go to the gym and then I had to go to work. And it was like, all my whole life was just dread. And I was like, oh, there's no joy in my days. And if there's no joy in my days, then there's no joy in my weeks. And if there's no joy in my weeks, then there's none in my months. And that means there's none in my years. And it's like, that's not living. So it's like, if we can just find moments where we can like input joy, even if we are in those situations when we're not enjoying our desk jobs or we're not enjoying our work, like we're in a circumstance that isn't what we want it to be, it's like we can focus on something good. There is something good there that we can focus on. And I guess that's all comes back to like gratitude and like being aware of like what is the good in our life, and really like just being aware of that, because once we point it out, then we'll probably find another and another and another, and just get more grateful and get gratitude all over the place.
You girls. So I want to ask you
the sun one as well, the sun card.
What's that?
The sun card was all about planning.
Yeah.
I love planning.
Yeah. So talk to me about that. Talk to me, because you know what? Yeah. Like, I actually didn't know your background was in PR either. Like, it makes a lot of sense now that I see that.
I wanted to be a PR, a publicist for the stars. Ooh. I wanted to like
be, and now
like,
you just publish for yourself.
Yeah,
who is
exactly
a star.
My dream, I had like a vision board and I wanted to represent what's his name? The guy who played Edward Cullen. I was like a Twilight fan. I forget his name. Robert Pattinson. I loved him. So when I was studying, we had to like do a kind of a dream vision thing. And I was like, I'm going to be publicist for Robert Pattinson. So that was kind of my goal. But yeah, so that was my background. And through those, I guess always, not just through those studies, I've always been like such an organized person to a point where it was a little bit OCD. Like I had a problem. let's be honest. And like I always like had lists and I was a very stressed out person. So when I planned, it made me, didn't make me like less stressed. It made me more stressed because I was like, would get everything on my list and I'd be like, oh my God, I have so much to do and I have no time to do any of it. Even though like growing up with that kind of like planning, getting to know the process, that's been good. But how I dealt with it like wasn't the best. So like now when I'm planning, like me and Emma work really well together. So like she might come up with like a really cool idea and I'll be like, oh, awesome. Like, okay, let's go with that. But how are we going to actually get to it? So I'll like break it down like I would have done a work breakdown structure for like an event or something. And I'll write down every tiny little step, whether it even be like email this one person, like I will write that down. And then I'll kind of just like delegate tasks to me, Emma, or our VA. Like that's our team, like at the moment. So that's just how I like to run it. Cause otherwise I feel, if I haven't planned it out, I feel overwhelmed because I don't understand how we're going to get there. So I'm like, that's a really good idea, but how are we going to get there? And if I don't have it in front of me with the step by step, I get freaked out. So that has really helped. And then learning to deal with it in an unstressful manner has been a journey in itself, because I was a really impatient person and I just wanted everything now. Like I was like, I couldn't understand why the book wasn't ready 6 months ago. Like, why is it not ready? So I was like always stressed about everything. And then again, the gratitude mindset made me be more aware of my days, and the time was going to pass anyway. So I could either choose to do this task in a stressed out way and get flustered and probably take longer to do it anyway, or I could choose to do it in a calm and loving and kind way. And it probably took me less time. And I really got to enjoy my day a lot more. So I was like, that makes sense. I think I'm going to pick that. And I still fall back into the stressed out way too. But like, it's just like coming, realizing, oh, I did that in a stressed out way. Like, how can I change that? How can I not do that stressed out next time? Because like growing up, like I always thought like that busy and that stressed meant like better, that you're like better than everybody because you have like more on your list. It's like, well, I did this. Clearly I'm better. Like I thought that. And then I realized actually, no, like I don't want to be like that. And like it took a long time to learn that. A really long time.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, do you, like for me, I create lists of things like, you know, if I have to take Mabel to swimming lessons, I was so, back then, I think for me, it was a tool for dealing with my anxiety, you know?
Yeah.
So I would be in a fluster trying to get Mabel ready for swimming. And then I would get to swimming and I realized that I'd left, you know, just, I just wasn't very mindful. So I would realize that I had left all her swimmers in the container and on top of the roof of the car, and then I'd driven off. And so I got to swimming and there was no swimmers, you know? And so then I was like, okay, so what I need to do to do this better next time, so I don't feel this level of stress, is I need to have a checklist so that as I'm walking out the door, I can go, got it, good, let's go, you know?
Yeah.
So it's been a tool for dealing with anxiety. So for you, is it the same or?
I guess it definitely is. It's definitely, yeah, I would definitely say that. It's a form of anxiety, like that I've like always put so much kind of pressure on myself to do a lot. Like I've always been like that. Like I can think back to when I was working full-time, I was studying full-time, and then I was being a maid of honor for my best friend. And I just remember my days, and they were like horrible days of just like feeling like I'd forgotten something, feeling like I didn't have enough time, that like I didn't want to be where I was, like that I should be doing something else. So I think getting a plan, like even in that old situation, really helped me get through that. And yeah, now I still like get anxious that like, oh, like today was like not a very productive day, and it was because I didn't have my plan. And then if I spend like an hour planning out my next day, I feel so much better, even if I got the same amount of stuff done in both days, because I don't know, because I can keep track of it more. So it's also a form of like productiveness, and then also like being able to celebrate my little wins, because I think like we often forget to celebrate. Like we'll have this big goal or we have this project and we'll get there, and then it's like, oh cool, we did it, and what's next? Like, and then we just kind of move on to the next thing, and it's like, hang on a second, you just published a book, like, or you just like started a pod, like you just did a podcast and it got like to number one. Like,
I know. That's what I was just about to say, right? It's like, I remember when I started Carlosophies and I hit number one, and I was just like so excited for 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I can't maintain this. You know, I was like, who fucking said I had to?
Yeah, I know.
What about if you just celebrated the fact that you were there?
Yeah. You probably didn't even think that you wanted to become number one.
No.
Like, but it happened and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm amazing.
But okay, then suddenly it's not enough. Yeah.
I know. It's so bizarre. And so I think being able to like have those plans in place, and then when you can tick stuff off, you can celebrate little wins all along the way. It doesn't even have to be these big number one things. It can be like, oh, today I published that blog post that I had been sitting on for 2 weeks, and I'm so happy that I did that. I'm so proud of myself. Like, yay. Like, it doesn't even have to be a celebration. It can just be like internal, like that you're like deeply so proud of yourself, and I'm so grateful that I got it done. Like, it could be as simple as that. But sometimes we even just forget to like do that and look back and realize, actually, you know what, you're doing pretty freaking awesome. Like, you don't have to put so much pressure on yourself to do more and more and more. Just like, hang on a second.
Take your breath.
Yeah. Go meditate. Everyone's probably like, I need to meditate after listening to this podcast because she's crazy.
Do you meditate?
Yeah, I need it, Carly. Oh,
I need it. I don't do it. I should. I mean, I don't know. I have this thing where I don't like to swallow a pill just because everyone else takes that pill.
Yeah.
It's like a personality trait of mine. I want to know if that pill works for me.
Yeah.
I'll try it, but I'm not going to take it as being a magic pill until I know that it's a magic pill myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and, totally.
And so with meditation, I used to do it, but now I just walk on the beach and I find that it does the same thing. Or float in the pool. Like, that is a really big one for me. When I'm floating in the pool, that is my – or the lake or the beach, whatever, that is my peaceful place.
I 100% think that meditation does not need to be sitting in a cross-legged position in a quiet space, in a quiet room. It does not need to be like that. Like, that's what we see in meditation as. But I totally agree. Walking in nature, like, gosh, there is like something magical to that. When you can like go for a walk without your phone, like, let's remember, like, we shouldn't go like sort of scrolling through our phone or like messaging our friends.
Recording a podcast. That's all.
But like going out into nature and like being like looking at the freaking world. Like, I find that if I'm getting like super stressed or like things just don't feel like they're flowing, like I'm hitting blocks and I don't know why. If I go out and I walk on the beach and I just like look out to the ocean and I realize, oh my gosh, this world is so big and there is like so much magic. Let's just hang on a second and realize I am alive. Like, I was chosen to be put on this world. Like, everyone is like one in a million or something. I don't know what it is, but it's like crazy amazing that I'm alive, you're alive, we're alive together in this time. And it makes me realize I have a lot to be grateful for, like going out into nature. And I think just like, if that's your form of meditation, like just like recognizing like noises or looking at trees, like you look at trees or flowers and it's like, oh my gosh, that flower is like so bright and pink. Like, it makes me, I always think, I feel like I'm in a Disney movie because like it's it feels almost unreal. And we just kind of forget to look at those things.
Yeah, we,
just
we kind totally of, do.
We take it for granted that there's beautiful flowers or that the water is sparkling or that the water is crystal clear blue. Like, we just forget.
And even with the flower, it's like, what a fantastic metaphor, right? Because it's like this flower is there and it has really done nothing. It's just been planted somehow by a random bird or whatever. And then all it needs is sunlight and water and it grows. It's fully provided for just in the same way we are, but we just forget it.
Exactly. Oh, man. And they're just so pretty to look at.
I know, they are.
It's like, there's beauty. Like, it's all around us as well. Like, the magic is all around us. Like, I always, like I'm big on, like, signs, like, noticing signs. So, like, butterflies is one of my signs. So, if I see butterflies, I'm like, oh, I know I'm in the right spot. Like, or if I'm talking with someone and I see a butterfly, I'm like, I'm supposed to be in this conversation. And I think, like, having those little magic moments, like, in your life, like, believing in them, like, it adds even more magic. Because I think the world is magical. Like, there is no way that it's not, because we're this big floating planet, like, in the, like, this huge big universe, and it's like, hello, like, there's no humans on any other planet. Like, we are, like, the most perfect distance from the sun, so, like, we're alive where, like, no other planets are, and who even knows, like, how many other galaxies, like, us exist. Like, we don't, and I think, like, that is so magical. It has to be magic. So I think if we believe a little bit in it, it just like makes life better.
For sure. So what do you think magic is ahead for you?
Oh, like what magic is coming my way?
Yeah.
Oh gosh. I just always have this mindset of like that new opportunities and like big things are coming and that like everything is flowing. So I just kind of put that out there. I just want to be able to live every day, like wake up every day and be joyful. And I don't need a lot. Like, I have everything I need right now. It's just that I have goals that I want to kick, like, that I want to get, but I don't even know what they are. I know that I want to achieve more and that I want to do more, but I don't know what that looks like yet. And I think that just making sure I have the mindset of being open to it and just, like, the ideas coming, like, that's kind of my main focus right now. Like, people keep, like, always say, like, what's your 5-year goal? What's your 10-year goal? And I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to be doing in 5 years. Like, I might be in New York. I might be here. I don't know. Like I just don't know. So I think, like, just being open to it, like, that's kind of the magic that's ahead for me. I know that if this is the magic I've already experienced, it's just going to get bigger and it's just going to get better. If I just keep putting good out into the world and I keep being kind and I keep being grateful, that is only going to come back to me.
Time to kick up your feet and relax. It's on the couch.
Biggest fear.
Oh, biggest fear. Oh, shit. Dying. I have a fear. Like, it's been with me since very young. I used to wake up and, like, start crying and say to my mum and dad, my heart's not beating, like, I'm dead, I'm dying. I still get kind of freaked out, like, when I go to bed. Like, sometimes I'll, like, be like, what's dying going to feel like? Like, what will it be like afterwards? Will it just be like nothing? Will it just be like blackness? So I have a fear of that.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I've been thinking about not necessarily death, but where we come from. Like, I kind of believe that we're just a soul here to live a few lessons before we move on to whatever is next. And that
I like that.
Yeah. And that our journey is like the truth of who we are is that we are love.
Mm-hmm.
And that is all we are. And this journey of life, depending on where we're at, based on our previous lives or whatever, is a journey of trying to come back to that, trying to remember that we are love. And then at the end, when we die, we just go back to a pure state of love.
But where do we go?
Well, I don't know.
Do we go into a new body? Do we know?
Yes, I do, like, believe that.
This is, okay.
I do believe that there's like, okay, so the love, Then love is like, for me, this is like totally woo. I'm like outing myself here.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's go
woo. So we are a state of love, and love is our higher self.
Mm-hmm.
So it's love is our intuition. Love is our, you know, the bit of us that we all know that we have, right?
Yeah.
We're connected to something bigger. Whatever that is you want to call it is totally fine. And we're just here to remember who we really are.
I like
and
that.
And then I don't know where we go, but I feel like it's somewhere good.
Okay.
And then we come back to do it all over again.
I like this. I'm like full believe that too. Like, and because like through like yoga and like we learn a little bit about Buddhism like on the weekend, and the monk, I think she was a monk, she talked about that. And so I was like, okay, I like that. And that helps me with my fear as well. So like I'm going to like try and believe that and try and think that more because, yeah, I think that makes sense. And it's like how could we just die? Because like I don't think that's true because like it couldn't just be like that because the world is so magical. So something magical has to happen. And that, what you said, I think I agree.
Cool. Awesome.
Next question.
What do you struggle with at the moment?
Patience. Struggle with patience. So patience with like people and also projects. And that is, again, something that we learned about on the weekend when I went to this meditation workshop, and it was awesome. And it was all about patient acceptance. So it's all about just realizing that, like, you know what, it's all going to happen when it's supposed to happen. And we can either choose to be worrying about the fact that it hasn't happened yet, or we can just choose to be really in an enjoyment stage and just like enjoy the journey. And so I think that's really helped me. But yeah, that's something that I struggle with.
So recurring voice, we all have an evil bitch in our head that tells us a bunch of untruths. Mm-hmm. What does yours say the most at the moment?
Oh, at the moment, I was going to say like previously, it used to tell me that I'm too fat and I need to lose weight, but I've been working on that voice and it's like, this is the best that I've ever been. Like right now in my stage of my life, which feels amazing. Like it's like the lightest ever. I think it's telling me right now, you're not big enough. You're not good enough. So that's probably the most common thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. And I think that's pretty much everyone.
Yeah.
Once you take away whatever it was, whether it was you're too fat or whatever, the key message is you're not enough, right?
Yeah.
Once you peel it all back, it all just kind of comes back to that.
Yeah.
Failure. What does failure look like, or what does it mean to you?
I don't think I believe in it. I think that every time something doesn't work out the way that I thought it was going to work out, it always works out.
Yeah.
It's like the whole blessing thing. Like even though, I'll give you an example, even though our recurring membership club, our meal plan club, didn't turn out how we thought it might have turned out, now because it didn't turn out, we have this amazing book and we have a way forward that we're going with our business, and it's like way better and I'm enjoying it way more. And it's like, if I hadn't have tried that club that failed, then I wouldn't have never known that. So I don't believe it's a thing. I don't even believe in that word. I think it's just like, we've got to try everything. And if it doesn't turn out the way we thought it was going to turn out, it did turn out the way it's supposed to turn out.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so success. What does success look and feel like to you?
I think success is contentness. So living your days feeling content that you are happy, that you are loved. I think success also has a state of flow, that everything just feels like it's going and that like you're just enjoying every moment. That is success.
And what about freedom? What does freedom mean to you?
Freedom is being able to get an opportunity sent to you in an email and you be having the freedom to say yes without even a thought. Just like if it feels right and you can say yes and then you can just go for it no matter what money, no matter what time, no matter what. That is freedom.
The plug. Instead of filling the podcast with self-promotion, we're being totally transparent. Here's the plug.
Oh, cool. Well, everything can be found over at getmerry.com. Recipes, mindset, podcast stuff, app stuff, any of that, head over there.
The takeaway: exercises or tips for positive change, sprinkled with salt and vinegar, wrapped in newspaper, and handed over the counter from our special guest to you.
The biggest thing is to think about where in your day can you add more joy, and whether it be just 5 minutes, add more joy there and focus on it in every situation. So if you're doing your emails and you're not feeling joy, it's like, well, how can you add joy? Because I assure you there's a way to add joy. Put on some music, get your gratitude on by being grateful for all of these emails of people who want to talk to you and want to know something from you. Just, yeah, where can you add more joy and do more of that?
Yeah, because it's easy to get the emails and kind of be resentful a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's what? Like, somebody else is asking this of me again?
I know. It's like, oh, they're asking me, like, this is typical. They can't download their ebook again. Like, why can't they download their ebook again? It's like, well, maybe this is the first ebook they've ever bought. Like, and maybe you should be grateful, Carla, that they bought your ebook and they're giving you money and time and they want to learn from you. And it's like, oh yeah, I love this person. I'm so grateful for your email. Here is our ebook. You just become a kinder person as well. Like when you're trying to add more joy to your life, you will inspire others around you and you'll inspire the environment around you to just be exactly what you want it to be. Because if you're putting that out, that's what it's going to come back. So put out more good and you'll get it more back.
Yeah, well, that's it.
Woo-hoo, that Thank was you. So much fun. Thank you so much for having me.
Woo-hoo.
Thanks for tuning in to the Carlosophies podcast with me, Carly Nimmo. Let's continue the conversation at carlynimmo.com. If you were a big fan of the podcast, I'd be stoked if you left a review. And if you want to hear more radness just like this, be sure to subscribe and spread the word. In the meantime, be real, be rad. Peace out.